Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. Happy lunchtime once again this week.
I keep seeing you on all of my lunchtimes.
It's lovely. It's nice to catch up.
I don't feel the same.
Oh.
So, Sean, Hero Zero, you probably know, but just for people who haven't, What's the idea of this, without saying exactly what I just said?
We just tell you about a comic book character. He does DC characters and I do Marvel characters.
Good. It's good stuff.
It's a little brief run-through. It's not too involved, but it's kind of enjoyable and it's fun to talk about these characters, isn't it?
Yeah. And so before we get started, everyone, please keep sending us your Spotify Wrapped. I love seeing those images. So if we are in, don't send us a Wrapped if we're not in the list.
Yeah, obviously. If you're like, I didn't listen to any podcasts this year.
You're in the top 99% listener. You listened for a minute.
Hey, it still counts.
Still counts. But if we are in anybody's list, please take a screenshot, send it to us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Twitter's probably the easiest one, just because I think it's cool, and it makes us feel nice for those endorphins. But, Sean, we do need 100 five-star reviews before the end of the year.
Need one, yeah.
Because your kneecaps are... The gang
they're up
told
for grabs
me,
at the minute.
Yeah, like, yeah, the Yakuza told me that you were going to get taken.
They did. It's fluent Japanese he speaks, lads. It's wild.
They said that they're going to take your kneecaps if we don't get 100.
And I said, that's fine. I have faith that we'll be able to do such a thing.
And then I said, but his kneecaps are useless. Why would you want them?
And then I said, Connor, come on. I have a pretty sweet deal here.
If you are on Spotify, could you, and you haven't given us the 5-star review, could you please do that? Just because I think we're pretty close at the moment, so I'd like to see us just take over the 100 by the end of the year. But Sean... Enough of that shite. Also, there's new merch. Enough of that shite.
Enough admin.
I hate admin. But Sean, this week on Hero Zero, I'm going to be doing some that I tried previously and it didn't work and the episode was bad.
Oh, right. Okay. Great day to do this. Let's try it.
This is one of those episodes where I'm going to pick a character or a comic book based thing from an animated show. And try to basically talk about the character through the animated show appearances rather than comic book appearances.
Interesting. Okay, there's a lot of fun animated characters out there.
True. We did try it many years ago with Spellbinder from Batman Beyond, and that was one of my worst reports, I think, ever.
It was it's like, it was a good report, but it is just like, here's the plot of the episode, you know?
And I think that's what we're going to do here.
That's all right, bud.
Why did you call me out? But yes, because I'm going to be actually covering a gang that is one of my favourite gangs ever. It was just because they're in the shows that I loved growing up. And that is the Royal Flush Gang, Sean.
Not familiar, so what I'm looking forward about to
not
this.
Not familiar with the Royal Flush Gang.
Never heard of the Royal Flush Gang. What can I mean, say?
First of all, it's literally a great team name if you're at, in any sort of board game event.
Fantastic. Yeah, if you're the Royal Flush Gang in a pub quiz, unreal.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, the Royal Flush Gang, they're fairly famous from Batman Beyond. And they also appear in Justice League Unlimited. But Batman Beyond is like the big thing that brought them into like me seeing them. And so I assume that's where a lot of people seen them. They did have a comic book run in the 60s. Back in the day, it was their first appearance.
Okay. But I imagine there's not a lot of meat in that story to do a report.
No. So their first appearance was in March 1966 in the Justice League of America. They were created by Gardner Fox. Who very famously he's created a lot of characters that we've covered here, but created the Royal Flush Gang as just an enemy of the Justice League of America.
Right.
And what the Royal Flush Gang, the whole concept of the Royal Flush Gang is like, it is actually very comic booky, and I can understand why like they work so well, because they're a great team to put up against a different team, but they're not the main villain.
Okay, so there's someone for everyone to fight, but they're not like Lex Luthor like level of bad guy.
This is how I'm going to describe it. Pro wrestling, WWE, AEW, all that shit, has a thing called jobbers, Sean. Now, right, do you know what a jobber is?
It's someone who just shows up and is there to get hit, basically.
Exactly. So jobber's whole idea is like the real small guy. And if you're like, if you've got this wrestler who's 7 foot tall and really muscly, they're like, well, we'll just hire a local jobber, some local indie guy, and just have him wrestle him, and then he'll be killed. And everyone in the crowd's like, well, that 7 foot guy is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
The Royal Flush Gang is comic book jobbers.
Right. So they just show up when you need a villain.
If you, for example, were maybe doing a Justice League comic book and you wanted an episode or an issue to showcase some of the powers and abilities of the new team or the Teen Titans, perhaps maybe they're going to go up against, I don't know, Deathstroke later on in the issue. But you really need that first battle to be like, wow, they work well as a team and wow, they have a lot of powers.
Let's establish what they can do.
That's where the Royal Flush Gang come in.
That's really cool. That I like that exists.
And that is kind of like their weird thing that they've come into. They're never the story's main antagonist, but they're there to give the heroes a showcase before they move on to the main antagonist of the issue.
So, yeah, so they're exposition villains.
If there's maybe a problem within the team, maybe that arises during the fight. They still win the fight because they're not like against the big villain. Yeah. But maybe there's a miscommunication. Maybe there's two heroes that aren't getting on. That kind of stuff. But they have been around for a very long time, and they've had so many reimaginings and so many different lineups of the team. It's very hard to nail down one specific team, because the idea of the Royal Flush Gang is that it's based off the family. So it passes down from generation to generation.
So what, the 10 Jack, Queen, King, Ace, is it?
Yeah. And the King and the Queen obviously start off as the father and the father and the mother. But yeah, like, it could then get to the stage where there was one where the King was actually the Queen's father, if that makes sense. So like, then you...
it's a hierarchy thing.
So the husband dies... The father of the kids dies, and then her father steps in as the king, and like then it continues on as king, queen, and then the kids. So like it stays within the families.
So yeah, it's a little mafia organization, kind
basically,
of
right? And so the Royal Flush Gang debuted in, as I said, in Justice League of America 66 in 1966. Their founder was a guy called Amos Fortune, who was a small comic book character who had been in a few issues, but never really developed any gimmick of any kind. He was just mostly around like luck and playing cards, mostly.
Okay. So that was enough back in the day.
But then he turns up in this issue, and now he's like, they've channeled his weird, like, very broad gimmick into, he turns up with a family of people dressed as the Royal Flush cards in those outfits,
yeah,
as King, Queen, Jack, Ace, Ten. And they now have a recognisable look, and it's also a reliable foe to throw at a team of heroes if you need them, because there's five of them.
Yeah, and they all have different skill sets, I'm imagining.
That is why they work really well, in that, yeah, there's all different skill sets. Now, depends on which team you're looking at, because you could have a team that's full superpowered, right?
Mm.
You could also have a team that has no superpowers, but has different strengths.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what issue you're reading. In Batman Beyond, they don't have superpowers, but in an epilogue episode, they do have superpowers, because they actually eventually get a superpowered person within the team, who we will touch on soon enough.
No spoilers,
right? But then, after only a couple appearances, the gag was basically reset in 1982. And this time, each member is given a more complete backstory, as they're brought together by a Green Lantern baddie known as Hector Hammond. And Hector Hammond brings together this team because he wants to fight the Justice League.
Is Hector Hammond in the 2011 Green Lantern? Is he the man with the big head?
Oh, he might be. Is that Hector Hammond?
Hammond, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, so...
I know DC stuff.
What a great reference. I'd forgotten that from my brain, 2011's Green Lantern. Reviewed on the Patreon, if you want to go listen to that. This version of the gang is where they establish also several ideas that they would then recur across a lot of issues. So, like, the idea that Ace is the android within the team. He's like a super strength android within the team. And the Ten of Spades is always a woman. And that's just kind of an idea that's kind of stretched along. And we don't really know why he just came up with that. And then someone liked the idea and just keeps it going.
So it's like these informal kind of rules that they have around who can be on the team.
Yeah, and so notably, these appearances also changed the suit of the gang from clubs to spades for some reason. I've no idea why.
Spade might be easier to draw.
Yeah, is one more villainous than the other is the question.
You got Ace of Spades, I think, might be the entire reason that the change happened.
Maybe, yeah, probably. And so then we get into, this was like literally their comic book runs. They've had a new 52 version, but they're a lot less interesting. But where they really kind of came into mainstream, I would say, is in the animated world, in the DC animated universe, more so nighting in Batman Beyond. And so they've made their first appearance in the future Gotham, basically. And they ride around on flying cars, or cards, I should say. So, like, they have motorized cards that they fly around on, which is just a cool visual.
And it makes sense because it's the future. So, yeah, of course that could happen.
Yeah. They do not have any superhuman powers, but they do possess high-tech weaponry. So King is a master swordsman. Queen wields a scepter-like weapon. Jack is a master with knives. Ace is an android that has super strength. And Ted is a computer hacker. So they're like a team that commit robberies.
Yeah, and they all fit in together.
Yeah, and without one, then the team is weaker.
I like that. It's very good.
And so they do appear in four Batman Beyond episodes. Now, look, I'm not going to go through the plot of every single one of them, but they do have some really cool ideas within them, because Batman Beyond is a good show. They're also in Justice League Unlimited for an episode that's a two-parter.
I'm well aware.
Your favorite? What's the episode called?
The Pack of Cards.
No, actually, it's pretty close.
Oh, yeah?
It has cards in the title, and it's two words.
The playing cards?
Wild cards, unfortunately.
Wild cards.
But yeah, so their first episode is called Dead Man's Hand, and they're all just plays on stuff. So it starts off on a boat where all these people are having a party, and suddenly the place gets attacked by them flying in on the flying cards. And they land and they just start robbing people, like, put all your stuff in the bag. Batman, who is Terry McGinnis, Batman of the future, he hears this, and Bruce is like, there's a robbery going on that boat, get out there, because Bruce is in his ear. So he flies out, lands, and Bruce immediately recognises the villains, because within the episode, it's basically said that Bruce has faced previous iterations of the Royal Flush Gang. And within just that one thing, it's created a whole world without doing anything.
That's really good. So this is the first time they're introduced in the animation.
Yeah.
But they've existed forever, basically.
And Bruce is in Terry's ear like, what the fuck are the Royal Flush... This is a different Royal Flush Gang. Like, I faced them in 2010. This is 2050.
Yeah, the others are long dead. Not because of me.
I'm going to die any day now. So the king and queen, however, get away because they set them up in a situation where they're like about to destroy the boat. And it's basically either you save the people on the boat and help them escape, or you can kidnap, or you can like not kidnap, arrest us.
Right.
And so it's one of those choices. He saves the people, they get away. But within this story, they also have... Their 10 is a blonde girl called... what's her name? Melanie. And Melanie's their 10. And she's basically the daughter of the king and queen. But she doesn't really like being a criminal. But she's their computer hacker.
Right, okay. She's just along for the ride because she was born into it.
And so she, out of costume... meets up with Terry McGinnis on a night out in Gotham afterwards, and they actually start having some romantic feelings towards each other, but he doesn't know that she's Ted and she doesn't know that he's Batman.
It's a classic. It's a classic move, isn't
it? It's a classic move. And so they have this whole like love thing where they're like, we'll go on a date tomorrow night. Are you free at like midnight? Yeah, we'll meet up at midnight. Because him and Dana, Terry's actual girlfriend, are on a break at this point.
Right,
so,
okay.
Or they've broken up, I think. So they're not together. So he's not cheating. Make that clear.
Right.
He's not a dirt bird, right? So yeah, him and Melanie are like, we'll meet up tomorrow night. But then before that, Batman meets up with the Royal Flush Gang because they're committing a crime, and he's fighting them all, and then he defeats them. Terry shows up to the point where they said they'd meet, and she's not there, and he's like, oh fuck, I missed her. But she turns up even later than he does, because they don't realise that they were fighting each other, kind of thing.
Yeah. Why would Batman plan to do anything at midnight, by the way?
That is, well, Terry's slightly different. He doesn't really care. He cares, but he also wants to live his own life.
Hmm. But he would you'd still be like, hey, maybe noon. Maybe we hang out at noon.
You're free at noon? So he heads out to the meeting place and they enjoy a lovely time. And they try to make it work, basically. Where Melanie then tries to leave the gang. And she's like, I'm done with crime. Like, I just want to be on the straight and narrow. I've got a boyfriend now. Like, I don't actually want to be involved in all this shit. Our whole family just is designed towards crime.
Yeah, and I'm sick of it, quite frankly.
And Terry is telling Bruce that he's like, look, I don't really want, like, I now have, like, a steady girlfriend. I don't have the time that I need to put in to be put Batman full-time. Because I think this is very early on in the show. I think it's, like, episode 7. So he's, like, he hasn't fully become Batman yet. He's kind of in and out at the minute.
Yeah, he's still not, like, all about the mission or anything like that.
Yeah. But through some detective work, Terry then starts tracking some phone lines. And he decides that Melanie... Then he discovers that Melanie is 10. He finds out, but she still doesn't know that he's Batman. And... You have the thing where he shows up to try and fight them again. Batman manages to beat Ace and then he defeats King and all that. And then he watches as Melanie gets arrested. As, like, he has to get her... He still likes her, but, like,
he has a job to do. Right?
And the episode ends with Bruce then saying to him, I've got a lot to tell you about Selina Kyle.
Oh, he's like, I've been there, buddy.
I've been there, brother.
I know what it's like.
Yeah, because this show is real good. So that's kind of the plot of the first episode. The second one is called Once Burned, which doesn't happen until, like, I think season 2. And they only, like, as I said, they appear, like, once a season. They show up, and Melanie and Terry always have that thing of, like, will they, won't they? But she's always involved with the family.
Yeah.
And she wants to be
that,
out.
Though, if they showed up every week, it kind of lessens. They'd get thin very quickly.
Yeah, like, and the second episode's actually really interesting because there's like a big high stakes poker game going on in Gotham. And you see 10 show up and rob the poker game. And Batman shows up and basically is like, what the fuck are you doing robbing the poker game? Like, that's like, apparently that game is for like all the mobsters and gang members
signing your own death warrant.
Like, yeah, and he's like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? And she's like, I need the money because the Jokers have taken my family. Right?
Ah, okay.
And so he's like, right. So he helps her fight off all the gangs and like gets her out of there. And they're like, and he's like, right, we'll go help your family, but you have to give back this money. Like, you can't be going around like just stealing people. Like, I'll help you get your family back. So they show up to the Joker's base and like Batman spends 10 minutes like casing the place out. He breaks it. He takes out a few Jokers one by one. And then he finally gets one. He's like, where are they? And they're like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. We didn't touch them. Like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, I've been double crossed, because Ted sneaks out the back and goes to commit more crimes. Well, he's trying to get her family back.
I thought they liked each other.
But Sean, it's a twist on a twist, because then she shows up and she shows up where she thinks the kidnappers are. And they're asking for the ransom, and they're in the shadows, and she throws the bag of all the jewellery over, and who catches it but Mr. King himself? And he goes, it was actually a ruse, we were never kidnapped, but we wanted to know you were loyal to us. But Batman now thinks that she's double-crossed them, and so he's really mad, but she didn't know, is kind of the thing.
That's like layers upon layers of fuckery.
Yeah, star-crossed lovers, you know what I mean?
Star-crossed are just like completely opposite sides of the line.
Completely opposite sides, you know what I mean? But the episode ends with she gave Batman a little note, and she was like, if you see Terry McGinnis, could you give him this? And the episode ends where he rips up the note and puts it in the bin, and he just walks off.
Oh, yeah. Man. I would read the note.
So that is the last of Melania's 10. But what happens then is, once we get into Justice League Unlimited, is an episode called Wild Cards, in which Joker shows up, brings the Royal Flush Gang in as his crew, but he has a new 10. And the new 10 is this psychic, is this that you've seen in the clip that I'm going to mention later on with Batman and her on a swing. But So 10 is now a psychic who has superpowers. And that's where Joker brings them in. And this is a new iteration of the gang, and he wants them to fight the Justice League. And he gets them to set bombs all around Las Vegas. And it's actually a really great two-parter, that he like sets all these bombs, and he has like his own Joker TV station. And he's like, can the Justice League stop all of the bombs simultaneously? We don't know. They're all going to go off. And he covers them all in like, what the fuck's it called? So Superman can't see them.
Lead?
Yeah, he covers them in lead, so I forgot the word for lead.
So he can't just scan the ground and see him.
Yeah, so Superman can see them, so they have the Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Batman's like, this guy's always on my fucking case. Like, leave me alone. I'm
fucking sick of this.
This is, by the way, Bruce Wayne and Batman, so this is like present time. Because this is a previous iteration of the crew, because technically in the timeline, this happened first.
Yeah, so when Batman said, oh, I met these guys before. Yeah. This is one of those times.
But this episode came out after that episode. So that episode's actually setting up future episodes without even knowing it.
Pretty cool.
Pretty good. They solve it. My one piece of trivia about this episode, Sean, is that members of Joker's Royal Flush Gang were all voiced by the Teen Titans.
Oh.
So the guy who plays Robin was King. The guy who plays Beast Boy was Jack. The girl, Tara Strong, who plays Raven, was Queen. Cyborg was played by Ten. And Starfire is Ace.
That's really cool.
Just from the animated Teen Titans show. So they were the exact same crew.
They were just in the building that day. And they were like, here, we need five voices.
And then the last story I wanted to talk about, you'll notice like Batman and Royal Flush Gang are always interconnected. But they're a good counterpoint.
Because like, if Superman came up against them, they're getting...
Oh no, he's ripping all their body parts and butchering them. But the last episode I want to talk about is a Justice League Unlimited episode, but kind of a Batman Beyond episode, called Epilogue. It's probably one of the most famous Justice League Unlimited episodes because, like, it covers a whole bunch of ground and is kind of the end of that series and Batman Beyond simultaneously.
Oh, is this when, like, the father of Terry McGinnis thing is revealed and all that
This is like a 31-year-old Terry. I think he's like 32, 31, and he's like full prime Batman, and he shows up at Amanda Waller's house and he's like, I'm the man that answers, what the fuck is going on, like, I think Bruce is actually my dad, but like, I've no idea what's going on. And he hates Bruce Wayne. He's like, Bruce is a fucking dickhead, like, he's lied to me my whole life,
he's a miserable old man.
He's still
alive at the time?
He's still alive, but he's like 95.
Yeah, like he's like on the way out kind of thing.
And to kind of, the episode kind of covers a lot of stories of Amanda Waller basically just describing like how Bruce isn't actually a bastard. That like, it was actually Amanda Waller who was the one who like tried to clone him. And that's where Terry McGinnis comes from.
Yeah, and so he's blaming Bruce for no good reason.
For something that she did. But he thinks Bruce was the one that like actually lied to him and knew that he was his father all along, and it's like a whole drama. But one of the stories that she tells to be like, Bruce isn't that, like, Bruce is a good man, is the very famous story involving Ace, my apologies. So Ace begins causing havoc when her powers develop beyond causing hallucinations to being able to alter the fabric of reality itself. So the new psychic Ace, she can basically alter reality. And with this power, she makes herself some friends. So she literally just picks random people and gives them superpowers and makes them King, Queen, Jack, and Ten. And is like, you're now my friends. And we're just going to be friends. But the new people just use their powers to commit crimes and steal money.
Right. So the Justice League get called in to stop.
So the Justice League get show up and they get brought in. She creates this like big massive fortress and her own Royal Flush Gang. So while the Justice League take out the rest of them, she's just in this big fortress and nobody can get through. Superman can't get through it. Dr. Fate can't get through it. Nobody has a power. Nobody can match her level of power. Like, she's out of control completely. She's altering the fabric of reality, so very difficult for anyone else to kind of come up against that.
And she's like a kid as well, isn't she?
She's like, I think she's 15 at this stage. Batman shows up and Amanda Waller is there. And Amanda Waller basically warns Batman that Ace is on the verge of dying from a brain aneurysm with all of this. And the resulting psychic backlash would basically cause the whole city to explode, killing everyone in the city.
Yeah, not good.
And Cadmus, who Amanda Waller works for, had retrieved a special weapon to kill her and prevent the disaster. And Batman says, I'll do it. I'll be the one to walk in and I'll take her out. I'll kill her. And Amanda Waller's like, okay, cool. So Bruce is the only person walking by himself, walks into the place.
Fucking cool.
Completely unarmed. And he reaches her and she's sitting on a swing, just in this swing set. And he walks over to her, and immediately Ace reads his mind. And they start having a conversation where he's like, what's going on, bud? Like, what's happening?
Sits backwards on a school
Because everyone
chair.
Had just been trying to punch her until she stopped.
Yeah, but no one ever like, hey, what's actually going on here?
And so Ace copies, tracks his mind and reveals that he never intended to use the weapon. So she reads his mind, she's like, you're never going to use that weapon to kill me. And he's like, No, I'm not. No,
if someone else came in, they might have. So
he asks Ace to reverse the changes she had made. And he relates to her because she's like, I lost my childhood. And he's like, yeah, I did too.
I get that.
And she reads his mind and she knows he's telling the truth. And she's like, yeah, you do understand that too. And they have this like moment of like, he's like, look, you can't just be doing this. Like, just because... like, they took your stuff. They took my childhood as well. And Ace is also aware that she's about to die. And she's like, I'm going to die soon, aren't I? And without lying, Batman's like, yes. Yes, you are.
Because, she can read his mind, so why would he lie?
Yeah, exactly. And so then she just says, I'm scared. Will you just stay with me until the end? And he says, yeah. And he holds her hand and they sit on the swings until she passes away.
That's one of the best Batman moments.
Yeah.
Like, because he's just like, He doesn't just solve all problems by punching.
And she dies peacefully, and the whole world is returned to normal because she actually takes away all of her psychic stuff that she's doing.
Yeah, and because it was a peaceful death, she just kind of goes, yeah, no big explosion.
Exactly. And so the Royal Flush Gang, that was kind of where they kind of came to an end in the animated world. Mm-hmm. But I love the idea that it starts off 50 years in the future and then it goes, tracks back through all the different iterations of the crew. The best version, I think, is the one with Ace as the psychic and leading this crew. But I do like the non-superpowered versions. Weirdly, the future ones are non-superpowered. They just have technology.
Yeah, yeah. But whereas, like, the older ones, there is magic or super-powered elements to that.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I like better. I like the idea of just a constantly changing roster.
Because you never defeat them. Because, like, you defeat one, and then, like, you only need one of them to get out, and then they can build up a whole new family.
Yeah. And that's fine. Like, even if they're not, like, blood-related, it's still the family.
Yeah, it's like, it could just be a group of criminals that, like, one of them was king and then the rest of them get arrested and he brings up a brand new crew.
Yeah.
He finds a Queen, Jack, Ace and Ted.
They're really cool. I kind of wish there was more of them, but I'm happy that there's not.
They're like a really niche group that I'm always like, if in a table quiz, I'm like, let's go Royal Flush Gang if we're going to do some.
Mine is the bus that couldn't slow down.
Different levels. but yeah, that's my report on the Royal Flush Gang. I hope that worked.
You knocked it out with a park, I think.
I tried.
You did well there. You did very, very well.
It's tough to do an animated show and a report because you're not doing comic books. It's very strange. We'll get back to comic book characters probably in the next week or two. Sean, would you like to take us out?
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hero or Zero. We will be back on Monday with an episode of Movie Mondays, Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, and Friday with another episode of Hero or Zero. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Everyone supports us over there. They get access to extra reviews and shows and things like that. And they also just help us keep the show going every single week. So head on over there if you want to support us in that way. There is also the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilment's discussion group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help with the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next week.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.